the fruit of the Spirit. That is what we are going to be talking about a little bit this morning. As you may remember, a couple of weeks ago, I introduced the idea of abundance. And we spoke on abundance such as, the Children's Church, for instance, right now are having abundant praise, as you can hear, kind of coming through the walls there. We talked about abundance and how that abundance is not only about infilling, but about outflowing. That it's not enough to have infilling, there must be outflowing. And I told you that I was going to preach 4 messages that dealt with kind of that as a background and how that there is both infilling and outflowing in our lives. And last week I ministered a message entitled The Spirit and the Word. And if you weren't here, you need to go to our website and listen to that message on the Spirit and the Word. It's about how the Holy Spirit superintended the Word in order to position both the Word and us in a way that God's message can be poured into our life. This morning, I want to spend a few minutes talking about the fruit of the Spirit. Now, I know when I deal with this message about the fruit of the Spirit, I know and I'm aware that this is a message that is dealt with and has dealt with many times through the ages, and many of you perhaps have heard many sermons about this, but I wonder, in dealing with the fruit of the Spirit, I wonder how much we have grasped the meaning. The premise for my message this morning is not just to deal with the fruit of the Spirit and what they are, although I'm going to do that. I want to go beyond that, and I want us to talk this morning a little bit about the function and the purpose of the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. Because here's what I believe. Unless and until we grasp the function and the purpose of this fruit of the Spirit, we believe we will be walking full of that Spirit in our lives. And we must recognize that and see it in a real life way. And so that's what I want us to talk about a little bit this morning. So if you take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Galatians, in just a minute, I want to read a scripture, but I want to give you some context. Because the only way to grasp the function and purpose of the fruit of the Spirit is for us to put this scripture I'm about to read, to put it into context. So let me do that while you're turning. We're going to be in Galatians chapter 5 in just a moment. The church, when Paul writes this letter, the church is still young. And there is a huge struggle that is going on. In fact, this is most likely the first letter that Paul wrote. It is very highly likely Paul wrote this in 49 AD, which was the first letter that he wrote to any of the churches. And this huge struggle that is going on is between law and grace. There is, because the church is still young, there is this element of individuals who, they're all about grace. And then there is left behind a group of people who want to incorporate within grace, also want to incorporate part of the law. In fact, it was such a huge problem that all of the apostles, including Paul and Barnabas and some other men who were founders and fathers of the church, they met back at Jerusalem. You can find the account of this, by the way, in Acts chapter 15 if you want to go there and read it at another time. They met at Jerusalem, and if you remember, that Jerusalem council sided on the side of grace. They were in a place where they stood firmly on the side of grace rather than the side of the law. Paul then, after he left the Jerusalem council, he hears that in Galatia, at the church of Galatia, there are men who are leading people back into bondage, back into the law. And so he writes this letter. And it's in that letter that we know as Galatians, it is in that letter that we first hear about the fruit of the Spirit. See, here's the context here. Paul is encouraging them to be strong, to remain strong in their walk in the Lord. Because here's what he says to them. He says, look, if you walk according to the law, dependent on the law, that is a flesh-based walk. But if you walk according to the Spirit, to grace, that is a Spirit-based walk. It's a Spirit-dependent walk. And what he was saying to them is, look, you got to make a choice. You're either going to walk according to the law, which is flesh-dependent, or the grace, which is Spirit-dependent. In other words, Paul was saying this, the basis for life in Christ is this way. If the basis for your walk is the law, that's a flesh-based walk, and you will produce things, fruits. He calls them works of the flesh. You can find them in Galatians 5:19. Or, on the other hand, if your basis for your walk is the Spirit, then you have a Spirit-based walk. And because you have a Spirit-based walk, you are going to, certain fruits that he called fruits of the Spirit are indeed going to be produced in your life. Now, with that context in mind, I want us to read Galatians. And verse 22 is coming up on the screen, but I want to start just a little bit before that in verse 19 and read it in a little better, a little broader context. Now, the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I've told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Then there's verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit, you may want to say them aloud with me, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. The fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit, Paul lines them out. He lists them for us so that we see them in order. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Your Bible may say patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. Your Bible there may say meekness, self-control. Again, your Bible probably, very likely if it's a newer translation, says temperance there. When you read through the list, have you ever wondered when you read through the list, have you ever wondered what Paul is really talking about? You understand what I'm saying? I mean, it's one thing to read the list and understand and hear the list that is read out as it's listed. But have you ever wondered what Paul is, well, what are you saying, Paul? What are you talking about? What do those things look like in life in a very real way? Well, let me just share with you a couple of thoughts. Some of the background work, some of the research work on this actually gives us these words. The word love is the word agape. And agape is actually an intense desire. If you're taking note, love means an intense desire to please God and to do good to man. Now when we say love is, as a word, love is kind of ambiguous, in part because we have overused the word, right? I mean, we love everything from chocolate to our mate, and sometimes maybe in that order. We love everything, and so it's been kind of diluted. What love is an intense desire to please God and to do good to mankind. Joy. What does joy mean? The word joy comes from the word chara, which where we get our word is a root word for our word charisma. And the word joy there is what? It's an exaltation that arises from knowing what God has done for me. See, joy and happiness are two different things, and my goodness, that's a whole discussion for another time. In fact, I will at some point come back and deal with each of these in another series at another time in much greater depth. I'm just wanting to introduce them to you this morning because I want us to get to function and purpose of the fruit of the Spirit, because many of you have heard some of this before. But joy and happiness are two different things. Happiness is situational. It changes today and may be different tomorrow. In fact, sometimes it can change from one minute to another. But joy is something different. Chara is that sense of pleasure, that sense of happiness that comes inside of me because of what God has done. And watch it. And what God has done doesn't change. The weather may change, my relationship may change, the situation may change, my circumstance may change, but God does not change it. So joy is that abiding sense that God has done a tremendous work in my life. The word there, peace, means quiet, calm, order in our lives. In fact, you almost have to say it that way, peace. In fact, it is the opposite. It is the exact opposite of doubts and fears and alarms and dread and foreboding. Peace is. So love, joy, peace. Long suffering. The word long suffering there. How many of your Bibles say long suffering? Anybody's? How many say patience? Yes, about half and half, and that's usually the case. We know the word patience. The word there in the original language is the word long-suffering, and it actually, it doesn't mean suffering long. That's two different things. Long-suffering and suffering long is two different things. Long-suffering actually means long-mindedness. Long-mindedness. It is the ability, watch this, it is the ability to bear with the frailties of others for a long time. Patience, long-suffering. It is the ability to deal with the provocations of others. What do you mean, provocations of others? Anybody here this morning knows somebody that provokes you? Anybody here knows somebody that provokes you? Okay. Long-suffering is the ability to deal with that over the long haul without doing what your natural man wants to, right? Yeah, you know what your natural man wants to do. Well, long-suffering is the ability to deal with those that provoke us and to deal with their weaknesses. It is that ability that helps us as we deal with one another. Well, can I just put it in plain language? To put up with each other, right? Because here's what I know about it. Everybody has weaknesses. Everybody does something that provokes somebody else. Now, that may be shocking news to you, but everybody here, I know, I'm busting your bubble. You thought everybody loved you without reservation. That, man, I don't provoke you. I rub nobody the wrong way. Well, I am sorry to tell you that everybody rubs somebody the wrong way. The reason you don't know it is because they're long-suffering with you. The reason you don't know it and realize it is because they are long-suffering and may have been suffering long, too. I mean, just depending on what the situation is. I mean, I know some people that I'm long-suffering with, and I know some that I've suffered long with. Is anybody with me? You can identify what I'm saying. That's what long-suffering is. It is and here's the reason why. I don't want to just stop there because I need to put this in. You're long-suffering with others because you know God has been long-suffering with you. In other words, I can put up with others' frailties because God's put up with mine. I can long-suffer. I can be patient with other people's weaknesses because, praise God, He has put up with my weaknesses. He has overlooked time and time and time again. He has overlooked my weaknesses. And when I have fallen, you do realize that you've rubbed God the wrong way, just like you've rubbed other people the wrong way. The reason you don't know it is because He's long-suffering. He's patient with us. The word gentleness is the word, it is the word, the Greek word, chrestostis. I can't help it. It's just me. When I read the word, it looks like the word Cheerios. And that's what I think of when I think of gentleness. Gentleness is, the best word for gentleness is warm-heartedness. Warm-heartedness. Pleasantness. Anybody here this morning, when I say those words, warm-heartedness, pleasantness, gentleness, does a face come to mind to anyone? Somebody that you know that is gentle. By the way, many commentaries say that, especially in today's society, that quality of gentleness is the rarest of all of the fruits of the Spirit operating in our society today. Because we have been taught to not be gentle, to not be warm-hearted, but we've been taught to stand up for yourself, to be brash and to be harsh. That's what we've been taught. And it is the rarest of qualities, gentleness. Goodness. The word goodness there is a perpetual desire. Now we need to understand goodness here. It's the perpetual desire and sincere study to withstain or abstain from that which is evil and give ourselves to that which is holy. Goodness is to do good to the bodies and souls of men to the utmost of our ability. With our attitudes, with our tongues, with our relations, and how we interact with other people. Goodness is that tendency toward that which is holy, that which is good, and to do that unto men. Faith. Faith is the word. Fidelity comes to word. Faith or faithfulness comes to the word fidelity. It means that in both your commitment, in your promise, and in your punctuation, that you will stick to your commitments. That is both in the promise that you've made and in the carrying out of that promise, that you are punctual, that you will actually care for it out. It has to do with being conscientious, has to do with being careful, that you carry out your word and you stick to your word. The word meekness is an interesting word. There's just two more, and then I'm going to move on. The word meekness is an interesting word. The word meekness, the word that comes to mind is mildness. It is the indulgence toward others that are weak. It is long-suffering without revenge. In fact, the best way that I've ever heard meekness described, by the way, meekness is not weakness. We talked about this Wednesday night. Meekness is not weakness. Meekness is strength that is under control. It is strength that has the ability to move, has the ability to act, has the ability to bring about retaliation, but it is brought under control by the Holy Spirit. It has been tempered by the Holy Spirit. That is what meekness is. And finally, temperance. Now temperance is an interesting one. Temperance is the self-governance. Temperance is self-governance. It is the ability to govern in moderation. The word chastity actually comes from the word meekness. That's what some of the commentary says about meekness. I think, and I believe this. Yes, it's, go back to the scripture there, or go on forward to the next scripture. I think one individual that caught the meanings of these words the best was Eugene Peterson in his Contemporary Language Bible that you and I know is the Message. He captures the meaning of these fruits in a way that's excellent. Here's what he says. But what happens when we live God's way? And I'm starting a little bit before what's coming up on the screen. Go to the next one. Yes, Galatians 5. There we go. That goes, and I'm starting just a little bit before because I want to put it in context. But what happens when we live God's way? He brings gifts into our lives much the same way that fruit appears in an orchard. Things like, here it is, affections for others. That's love. Affection for others. Things like exuberance about life, that's joy. Serenity, that's peace. We develop a willingness to stick with things. That's patience, that's long-suffering. We have a sense of compassion in the heart. That's kindness. We have a conviction. In fact, I love the way that he captures the meaning of goodness, better than anybody else that I've read. We have a conviction that a basic holiness permeates things and people. That there is a basic holiness that's goodness. We find ourselves involved in loyal commitments. That's faithfulness. Here we go. Gentleness. Not needing to force our own way in life. That's gentleness. Able to marshal and direct our energies wisely. That is self-control. In fact, I find it interesting. There they are. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's the definition. I hope after going through that this morning that you have some sense, maybe a little better sense than you had before, of what those mean. Now, here's what I find interesting. Paul adds to, after he lists this, he adds this phrase, against such there is no law. Have you ever wondered what that means? When Paul writes that, he adds to it, he says, against such there is no law. What Paul is actually saying there, when he says against such there is no law, what Paul is saying is, if you live according to these qualities, if you live according to this fruit in your spirit, you do not have to worry about the condemning charges that come against you that may push you down. Rather, you can live by these and you live a fulfilled and freedom-filled life. In other words, these qualities, the fruit of the Spirit, bring the life and the freedom of Christ into reality in our lives. Now, having said all of that, I want to talk with you about two things this morning, and I'm not going to, the rest of the message will probably be shorter than the previous part. Here's the thing that I want to talk with you about this morning. Because, see, I don't think it's enough for us to read through this list and just try to grasp what these things mean. What I want to know is, what is the function and what is the purpose? In other words, it's not enough just to have a cerebral knowledge of what these are. What's the function? What's the purpose? What role do they feel in our life when you talk about the fruit of the Spirit? And so I want to talk with you about those two things this morning. First of all, I want to talk with you about the function of the Holy Spirit. Now watch this. The function of the fruit of the Spirit is to produce the life of Christ in us. That's what these do. Think about it a moment. These qualities produce the life of Christ in a real, discernible, tangible, transforming, real way. Think about it a moment. Love produces the life of Christ in me. Joy produces the life of Christ in me and in you. Peace. Think about it. The peace produces that life in a very real, tangible way. When I say that I'm living in Christ, I can say that because, well, love has produced it in me. It becomes tangible. It becomes real. It becomes discernible. Patience. Patience produces the life of Christ in me. Kindness. Kindness produces Christ's freedom and his life in me. Goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Watch this. The fruit of the Spirit actually produces the life and the freedom of Christ in me. When the Holy Spirit is producing these things in my life, I do not have to live under the bondage and the condemnation of the flesh. Rather, I live a full, free, abundant life. That's the fruit of the Spirit. That's the function of the fruit of the Spirit. When the fruit of the Spirit begins to be produced, Kevin, in your life, it is to bring the life-transforming, the discernible, real, tangible life of Christ inside of you. So you don't have to wonder, as the Galatians were doing. See, the Galatians were wondering, am I saved? Am I living in Christ? Am I living in the Spirit? Paul says, look, if these fruit are present, when you are full of the Holy Spirit, these fruit will be present and you will know that Christ's life has been produced inside of you, that his freedom has been produced inside of you, that his joy has been produced inside of you. That's the function of the fruit of the Spirit. They are to produce the life of Christ inside of us. But there's more to it than that. That's only part of it. The second part of it is this, is that there is, indeed, the fruit of the Spirit produces, this function is to produce the life of Christ inside of me, but there's more to it than that. The purpose of the Holy Spirit, watch this, is to spread that life, to spread that freedom into all of our lives. Not only inside, but outside. Now watch this. See, the Holy Spirit, is the Holy Spirit supposed to produce inside of me love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, patience, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control? Is the Holy Spirit supposed to produce those things inside of my life? Absolutely, that fruit, the Holy Spirit produces those fruit in my life. But you understand, don't you, that that's not enough. What the Holy Spirit wants to do is he wants to produce it outside of you, through you, if you will, not only in you, but through you, so that, watch this, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control are not only produced in me, they are produced through me, not only in my life, but in my family. Watch this now. In my relationships, in my surroundings, in my workplace, in the schoolroom, that the fruit of the Spirit is produced, yes, in me, where I walk in the fruit of the Spirit. I walk in love and joy and peace and kindness and goodness and gentleness. But all of that, when I walk into a room, watch this, when I walk into a room, I'm also producing in that room the fruit of the Spirit. Wow. See, we've had this idea of the fruit of the Spirit that we get short-sighted. We get short-sighted that the fruit of the Spirit is all about me. Now, stay with me now. We think the fruit of the Spirit is about what I feel. When I feel love, I have the fruit of the Spirit. When I feel joy, I have the fruit of the Spirit. When I feel peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control, gentleness, when I feel those things, that I have the fruit of the Spirit. And is that so? Absolutely it's so. That's the function of the fruit of the Spirit. But there is more to it than that. When the fruit of the Spirit is functioning in me, it will be bringing about the purpose outside of me. And the purpose of the fruit of the Spirit, as the function is to produce that in me, the function is to produce or to reproduce the life and the freedom of Jesus Christ around me. In my marriage, in my children, in my workplace, in my relationships, in my schoolroom, the fruit of the Spirit. Now, do you see, watch this, do you see the connection then between this and abundant life? Abundant life, really true abundant life, we often have thought is about the infilling, how much I get in me. But abundant life, we found out 2 weeks, is actually not just about how much is in me, but how much God flows through me. Now watch this. If you're going to live an abundant life when it comes to the fruit of the Spirit, there has to be not just infilling of the fruit, there has to be not just function, but also the purpose of the fruit of the Spirit. That it's not enough for me to walk in inside of me and just to walk around with love and joy and peace and goodness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control and patience inside of me, but also as I walk around, I will produce those things. In fact, Paul says that. He says, if you live in the Spirit, also what? Walk in the Spirit. What is he saying? He says, look, if the function of the Holy Spirit is going in and so on inside of you, it will also be produced outside of you. Let me see if I can illustrate this morning. Gerlin's going to come and help me. Let me see if I can illustrate this morning. How many of you enjoy a good piece of fruit? My family thinks that now that I've actually started running again, my family thinks that I've just gone nuts when it comes to it. When I go by the store, I mean, I just buy tons. In fact, all of this will go home with us. And most of it will be gone by the end of the week. I mean, I just love a good piece of fruit. And anybody here, anybody here likes peaches? Oh, man, I love me some peaches. Now, I'm not talking about peach ice cream. I love peach ice cream, and I'm not talking about peach pie. I love peach pie. I love peach ice cream. But I'm talking about just a good peach. What about cherries? Anybody who likes cherries this morning? Oh man, I love me some good cherries. In fact, I like to eat them right off the stem. Love me some cherries. Strawberries. Anybody like strawberries this morning? Yeah, making you hungry, aren't I? You're tasting it already, aren't you? Go ahead. Yeah. Grapes. Everybody, that's right. Jeremy, you've raised your hand on every single thing. But, I mean, that does not mean you're getting any of this. I just want to settle that right up front, just so we know. This is going home with us. So the fruit of the Spirit. See, here's the thing. The fruit of the Spirit, the function of the fruit, now watch this. The function of the fruit, The fruit has pulp, it has the meat. Now watch this. The function of the pulp or the meat in fruit is to nourish me. It is to supply me. It is to satisfy me. It is to energize me. And fruit for me, especially running. Fruit for me gives me life. It sustains me. When I eat, and I will, I'll eat watermelon, and I... that's not part of the deal this morning. No, the fruit, the pulp... Now, you got me with my hands all nasty this morning already. Watch this now. Fruit gives life to the body. The pulp, or the meat, as you may know it, gives life to... You're going to have to go sit down. You are being a distraction now. Yeah, you're through. No, you're not through. You're eating. The fruit of the Spirit, the fruit gives life to the body. It gives me energy. It gives me vitality. Fruit allows me to stand and to function. After I've run, most mornings I run about 3 to 4 miles. This past Friday, I was able, Robin, to get in 6 miles. I hadn't run that many in over a year now. And I say that because Robin has started running. She ran 13.1 miles, I think is the longest she's run. And listen, after you get through with a long run, man, you need some fruit. You need to re-energize. In fact, I was taught when I started running, look, the first thing you ought to do, perhaps even before you get a drink of water, is eat a piece of fruit. It starts replenishing you immediately. That's what the pulp does. Now watch this. That's what the fruit of the Spirit does. That's the function of the fruit of the Spirit. Because here's what I know. When I walk through life, just like when you walk through life, here's what I know. Life drains you, doesn't it? I mean, you leave the workplace and how many of you, don't raise your hands, but how many of you leave the workplace and the last things on your mind is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance, faith. That's the last thing on your mind, right? But see, the fruit, the replenishing of the Holy Spirit puts the pulp, it puts the meat, it puts the function of the Holy Spirit back in us. That's the function of the fruit of the Spirit. It, Melissa, it encourages me, it strengthens me, it gives me life again. Crystal, it helps me to be able to, well, get up the next day and go again. If it weren't for the refreshing of the love and joy and peace and kindness and goodness and temperance and faith and gentleness of the Holy Spirit, I wouldn't be able to get up and go the next day, and you wouldn't either. That's the function of the fruit of the Spirit in our life. It energizes, it supplies, it nourishes us. Well, the fruit of the Spirit produces life. It produces life. But there's more to it than that. Thank you, I'll take that. Now watch this. There's more to fruit. I might have to decommission you now, right? There's more to fruit. There's more to fruit than pulp. Right? That's enough. Watch this. There's more to fruit than pulp, right? Thank you. Now listen, I love pulp. I love the meat. I love the pulp. I love to eat me a good peach. But there's more to fruit than pulp, right? There's seed. Now listen to me. Watch this. There's seed. In fact, watch this. The purpose of fruit is not pulp. The purpose of fruit is seed. You see in this? The purpose of fruit. Now, do I love me some peaches? Do I love me some strawberries? Do I love me some orange, some apple? Do I love? Yes, I absolutely do. But the purpose of fruit is seed. Now, here's the thing. We think fruit is about our consumption. We think fruit is about our consuming. But you understand, don't you, that fruit is not actually made for me to consume. Now, did God bless us with it in the Garden of Eden? Absolutely. Am I to take it and consume of it and to have it? Absolutely. But in the natural world, fruit is not given. In the natural, fruit is not produced for me to consume. Fruit is produced for reproduction. Fruit is produced for reproduction. What do you mean by that, Pastor? I mean, and think about it a second. See, the in a purely natural state, when an orange tree produces an orange, an orange tree is not thinking, I'm producing this orange so that Clive can enjoy an orange, right? An orange tree is producing that orange in order that, what? It may drop on the ground so that another orange tree will grow. We think the fruit of the Spirit is all about how much we consume, how I feel, how much energy I get, and absolutely that is part of it. But what we have left out of our thinking about the fruit of the Spirit has to do with the seed. In fact, the fruit, when you take a piece of fruit, do you know what the pulp is actually meant to do? The pulp is actually meant to supply nourishment to the seed. So that when this drops in the ground, it actually gives some initial nourishment. It actually gives some initial nutrients to the seed so that the seed can then germinate and can produce another tree. It can produce more of its own kind. Now, Pastor, what does that have to do? What does that have to do with the fruit of the Spirit in our lives? Here's what it is. The seed, watch this, the seed of the fruit of the Spirit is the tangible, discernible, real, life-transforming life of Jesus Christ inside of us. And that seed is meant to be reproduced in others that are around us, in relationships, in our workplace, in our home, in our marriages, in our families, in our children. It's meant to be in our schoolyards. It is meant to be to grow in others. In other words, when fruit of the Spirit is produced inside of us, then it is also meant to be propagated beyond us and outside of us. Do I get a benefit from the fruit? Absolutely, I do. But the Holy Spirit has not only function, it also has purpose that is built into the fruit. And the fruit is to, that purpose is to produce or reproduce the tangible, discernible, transforming reality of Christ first in me and then in others. That's the way I walk in abundant life. The fruit produces life, the life of the tree that bore the fruit. That's why Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it what? More abundantly. More abundantly. I think so many times when we think of the fruit of the Spirit, we think of it only by that which we can consume and have, and not in terms of that which we are supposed to produce in others. When this fruit of the Spirit, when I am full of the fruit of the Spirit, it has full function in me. Yes, it fills me and energizes me and gives me life, but it also has purpose in that. That fruit, that same fruit is reproduced in my life. It is reproduced in my family. It is reproduced in my marriage. It is reproduced in the people that work around me. It is reproduced in the people that I go to school with. It is reproduced in the people at the ballpark. It is reproduced in the people the waitress that I see when I go to lunch. It is reproduced. That's the main idea of what I want you to see this morning. The fruit of the Spirit is the tangible, discernible, transforming reality of Christ in my life. That's the pulp. That's the function. And then the spreading of that seed into others' lives. You know, I say, now, Pastor, help me understand what it is that you're saying here. Here's the question when it comes to the fruit of the Spirit. And I'm talking about a living in abundant life. Here's the question. What impact do you have when you walk in the room? What impact do you have on your spouse? What impact are you having in those meaningful relationships with other people? Because watch this now, here's where it gets real. It is not enough to say, you can't say, I'm full of the fruit of the Spirit. I have love, I have joy, I have peace and long-suffering and patience and gentleness. And produce the opposite of that in other people. Did you hear me? You can't claim and say, oh man, I've got all of that inside me. And then when you walk into the room, the air leaves the room. When you walk into a situation, you don't make it better, you make it worse. I've heard people say sometimes, Pastor, it just seems like confusion follows me. And I say to them, let me tell you why that is. That is because, and now this is deep. You got to think about this. This is deep. It is because confusion follows you. Pastor, it just seems like my relationships are all messed up. It seems like in every area, in every way, everywhere I turn, everywhere I look, it just seems like my relationships are messed up. And I say to them, listen, let me tell you why that is. That's because your relationships are messed up. Oh, but I'm full of the fruit of the Spirit, and I have all of those things. Man, this Galatians 5:22, I'm just full of all of that. Yeah, but what seed are you dropping in somebody else? What seed are you placing in somebody else's life? What seed are you? Are you with me now? Now this is where it gets real, because what we want to do, we want to hide behind the good stuff. We want to hide behind the good stuff. And oh man, I just love eating me up some love and peace and joy. And yet we produced exactly the opposite of that in other people's lives, and we don't have an explanation for it. And I'll tell you, the explanation is because you're walking in the function of the fruit of the Spirit and not the purpose. The purpose of the Holy Spirit is to spread the seed. The fruit of the Spirit is to spread the seed, and the seed is life-transforming, discernible, real life and freedom of Jesus Christ. And you are supposed to be dropping that in other people's lives. But sometimes with our words and our attitudes, and sometimes with our, well, Paul calls them selfish ambitions. See, here's the thing. If are you with me this morning? Are you tracking with me? See, fruit is all about reproduction. If you're producing intimidation, all right? You ready? If you're producing intimidation in somebody else's life, you are not dropping the transforming, discernible, real life of Jesus Christ inside of them. You're dropping something else inside of them. If you're producing fear, if you're producing fear in someone else, they're afraid to see you coming. They're afraid what you're going to say. They're afraid what you're going to do. All right? You are not producing the fruit of the Spirit. Paul says you are producing the works of the flesh, the fruit of the flesh. If you are producing anger, if you're producing anger in someone else, I mean, that's what dominates. I'm not saying if you make somebody else mad, everybody's going to make somebody else mad every now and then. I'm saying if you look across the course of your relationship with this other individual and you are producing anger inside of them, you need to check up. Because you are not producing the fruit of the Spirit. Even if you have it, even if by some way you have peace inside of you, if you're producing it into something else, something's missing in the connection. You may have the function, you don't have the purpose of the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is to let the world know that, well, there is life in Jesus Christ. It's transforming. It's discernible. It's real. And so when I drop love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, patience, temperance, when I drop that in somebody else's life, oh my goodness, they get a hold of the seed. And they realize, oh, this will transform my life. This will change my life. This is different than anything I've had before. It'll change me. It'll transform me. It'll make me like Christ. It'll help me to live according to the Spirit and not according to the flesh. Here's what I think many are guilty of, me included at times in my life, of praying, Lord, fill me with the fruit of the Spirit, and that be the only part of the prayer. Lord, I want to feel love. I want to feel peace. I want to feel joy. I want to feel gentleness. I want to feel goodness. I want to feel those things in my life. And not adding to that, Lord, I want to produce that in someone else. When I walk in the room, Lord, I do not want to produce intimidation. When I walk into the room, I do not want to produce fear. When I walk into the room, I do not want to produce anger because of my selfish ambitions. I've always got to be first. I've always got to be best. I've always got to be at the head of the line. You understand what I'm saying? I've always got to have the solo or whatever. You understand? I don't want to produce those things in my life. I want to produce in others' lives the fruit of the Spirit. That's why Paul said this. He said, walk in the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If you walk in the fruit of the Spirit, you will begin producing something other than those things that are of the flesh. If you produce, if you produce division, that is not a fruit of the Spirit. You produce jealousy, that's not a fruit of the Spirit. Dissension, that's not a fruit of the Spirit. All of those things that are listed there in Galatians 19, these are not fruits of the Spirit. So what am I to do, Pastor? What am I to do? Here's the challenge this morning. If the seed, let me back up. This is a cynical world we live in. This is a cynical world we live in. The world knows all about division and strife and anger and hatred. They know all about jealousy. They know all about selfish ambition. The world knows all about that stuff. What they're looking is for somebody that's genuine and real. They're looking for somebody that's got something different than they have. And what they need to see is not only is it evident in your life, not only is it functioning in your life, but they need to realize that when you speak to them, when you interact with them, when you make decisions about them, when you have a relationship with them, that you are dropping inside of them love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, temperance, faith, kindness, meekness. So that the fruit of the Spirit not only has function, it has purpose in your life and in theirs lives. So here's what I want to ask you this morning. What are you reproducing? What are you producing and reproducing in your life? The Holy Spirit wants to come. He wants to take His fruit and He wants to fill you full. He wants there to be a fullness of the Holy Spirit inside of you. He wants you to live in all of that fruit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, gentleness, goodness, faith, temperance or self-control, meekness. He wants you to be full of all of those things, but He also wants you to produce that in your life and to those that are around you. He wants you, that discernible, tangible, transformed reality of Christ in your life and then flowing through your life. And the fruit of the Spirit is one of the ways that flows through your life into others. That fruit of the Spirit. Such that in your life you have both. Here's what I've begun doing in my daily conversations with God. My daily conversations with God, my daily time with the Holy Spirit. Here's what I've begun to ask. I began to ask, Holy Spirit, I want to be full of your fruit. I want to be full of love, joy, peace, goodness, gentleness, faith, temperance, meekness. I want to be full of that. But here's what I know. I know that also sometimes, can we just be real? I know that sometimes, come here, baby. I know that when I act in selfishness, I produce something different than that in my wife. And that is not pleasing to Him. See what I'm saying? And sometime, I don't know how long back, sometime the Lord began to say to me, Glenn, there's got to be more than that. You cannot walk around with the fullness of the Holy Spirit and have all of that inside of you and produce something different than that in your wife. Okay? Or produce something different than that in your children. Or produce something different than that in your workplace. Or produce something different than that in the church. Produce something different than that in your relationships with others. And I began to say, Lord, it is hypocritical of me to claim fullness of the fruit of the Spirit in my life and produce the works of the flesh in her life. And in her life or in your lives. Because here's what I know. I know what's come inside of me is transforming, real, life-changing, discernible, tangible life and freedom in Jesus Christ. And that's the same seed that I need to be placing inside of my marriage, inside of my children, inside of my church, inside of my friends, in my relationships. And I began to be dissatisfied with just feeling love. I want to produce love. Dissatisfied with just feeling peace, I want to produce peace. Dissatisfied with just feeling joy, I want to produce joy. Dissatisfied with just feeling patience or self-control, I want to produce that in my wife, in my children, in my church, my workplace. I want to produce that in others. So I begin to pray, Lord, the same life, the same seed that you planted in me, I want to plant it in others. When I talk to people, I want to plant your fruit. When I make decisions about people, I want to plant your fruit. Lord, even when I correct people, because you know that, well, every now and then as a pastor, you have to correct somebody. You do realize that every now and then. But Lord, even when I correct someone, I don't want to produce fear and shame or intimidation or anger. To the best of my ability, I want to take some fruit of the Spirit, which is wholesome and real, and I want to produce that in their lives. So I began to say, Lord, you help me. Thank you. You help me not only to sense it and to know it in my spirit, but you help me to produce it in others as well. That, my friend, is abundant life. Abundant life. It flows in and it flows out. And it touches every part of my life. That's my goal. That's my desire. That's my dream. I wonder this morning, if there's anybody here that you say, Pastor, the confession you just made is the confession I need to make this morning. That I've been satisfied with just walking in it, or I'm sorry, living in it and not walking in it. I've been satisfied with just having it inside and not producing it in others. In fact, I quite honestly haven't been much worried about what I've produced in others. But because of what you said this morning, I want abundant life. I not only want the fruit of the Spirit in me, I want it to be produced through me. And I want to live in that abundance. I wonder if there's anybody that's here this morning. I think there are, yes. I think there are individuals. I think there are people that are here this morning. I want to invite you to this altar. Listen, God's been doing some phenomenal, incredible things around this altar in the last several weeks. Every week, lives have been transformed around this altar. And if you know that there's some work that needs to be done in regards to the fruit of the Spirit in your life, and you want to live an abundant life, you want it not to just be in you, but to be produced through you. And maybe right now it's not being produced in your life or in your marriage or in your family or your workplace or your school or the relationships you have that are meaningful to you. And you say, Pastor, I want to step over that. I want to step into the fullness of that. I want you to get up out of your seats, and you can come kneel or stand, and we're just going to spend a few minutes here around the altar. And I got to tell you, there ought to be a lot of people. There ought to be a lot of people who say, Pastor, yes, I want to step over that line, and I want to step into the fullness of that this morning. So if that's just you this morning, as they begin to sing, I want you to get up out of your seats and come right now. You're welcome to stand. You're welcome to kneel, whatever it is. Come on, get up right now. That's right. That's right. Come on. Okay, here's what I know. Here's what I know is going on right now. There's some individuals, you have some frustrations in your life. You have some frustrations in your relationships, and you can't discern exactly where they are coming from and where it's come from. And I'm telling you, if that's you this morning, you need to get up out of your seat, and you need to come down here, and you need to stand down here. Just give yourself away to the Lord, because He wants to do something in this area in your life. He wants to do something in this area of your life. If you're feeling frustrations in relationships in your life, you need to get up and come on. God wants to do something in you and then through you this morning. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to have Ernest and Tangie come along and just anoint. Just anoint with oil every person that's standing along here. And what I'm going to begin to pray for you is a fresh, new infilling of the fruit of the Spirit in your life. As they come along and just begin to anoint you. Just begin to anoint you. Then I'm going to begin to pray for a fresh, new infilling of the fruit of the Spirit in your life. Yes. Come on. If you want you to be anointed as well, you just need to slip down real quickly. Just go down. Yeah, begin to anoint them. Just right along. Yes, thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Father, we just thank you and we praise you, Lord. For what you are doing and have done around these altars, Lord. Praise you. We thank you for it, God. We don't take it for granted when your Spirit comes. We don't take it for granted, but we treasure and we embrace it, Lord. We treasure it and we embrace it, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'll say something to you this morning I was just hearing. Not certainly for all of those that were across the front, but I also feel like I'm hearing it for the congregation as a whole. Be the change you want to see. Be the change you want to see. As you become, as you begin to walk in the fullness of the fruits of the Spirit, as you become to be that, then you begin to see the change. Be the change you want to see. And I'm telling you, Satan cannot stand against the power and the fullness of the Holy Spirit in your life. Cannot. Be the change you want to see. I want you to stand to your feet. Father, I thank you this morning, Lord, for the new normal. Lord, where it becomes normal for you to transform and change lives around our altars. God, I thank you for the new normal, God, that you're doing an incredible and abundant and amazing thing in our lives. God, I thank you and I praise you for it. God, I pray that you, Holy Spirit, will come and what has been spoken from the pulpit, what has been prayed in prayers this morning, that you will confirm it by the working, by your working of the fullness of the Holy Spirit. I thank you and I praise you for it, that this week, God, you're going to begin, Lord, to allow us to walk out that which has been poured into our lives today. I thank you for it. And I thank you, Lord, that people from here are going forward and not backward. Lord, they're going up and not under. They're going over, Lord, and not down. And we praise you and we thank you for it. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Until I see you again, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift his countenance up upon you and give you peace. Go in the blessings of the Lord. Next week, by the way, I'm going to be preaching on the gifts of the Spirit. You do not want to mention it. Miss it. There's some things there that God's going to show and transform your life with. God bless you. We love you.